Marcus Agrippa, the Treaty of Brindisium. Well, the Perusian War was over and settled, but it appears that there's still a little warring to go on between Antony and Octavian. Octavian considered himself above both Antony and Lepidus. He now had more than 40 legions, but actually no ships. Antony's success at Philippi, however, had raised his popularity amongst the retired as well as the serving troops. He had a sizable army of his own, plus he had 200 ships. To rebalance the odds, Octavian needed an ally. Taking advantage of Lepidus's frustration at having been deprived of his province, he returned Africa to him along with 6 legions that he suspected were loyal to Antony, an act calculated to secure his allegiance over the other triumvirs. Indulging his passions in the east, Antony belatedly learned that Octavian had seized his Gallic provinces and all the legions stationed there. Incensed by the report, he sent messages to Sextus Pompeius to side with him and declared himself an enemy of Octavian. In August of 40 BCE, Antony and Anaerobus, operating from Greece, and Pompeius in Sicily, actually united for an invasion of Italy. Along the Adriatic coast, Antony captured the coloni of Spontum and marched on the strategic port of Brundisium. He constructed a circumvallation around the city, the wall completely around the city, installed his artillery, and settled down for a long siege. In the south of Italy, Pompeius sent his deputy, Mendorius, to Sardinia, while he attempted to capture Consentia and Thurii. He failed to take the latter and had to settle in for a long siege of the former. Back from Gaul and now facing war on 2 fronts, Octavian assessed the rapidly deteriorating situation. For the moment, the threat posed by Sextus could wait. To deal with Antony, he ordered Agrippa to Spontum and Rullius to Brundisium with 5 cohorts of Octavian soldiers. Agrippa called out the veterans who were settled in the coloni, and they initially followed him, under the impression that they were heading to fight Pompeius. But learning that what had happened had been done at Antony's own request, and being in no mood to fight him, they turned around and went back secretly. Octavian was on his way to Brundisium, and finding the veterans heading towards him, he stopped them and persuaded them to follow him. When he reached the port, he found he could do nothing despite having the larger number of troops. Then unexpectedly, Octavian fell sick. Meanwhile, news reached him that Agrippa had taken the city of Spontium by storm and secured it, and Pompeius had been repulsed from Thurii, although he was still attempting to take Consentia. Rullus was not so lucky. Coming to assist Octavian at Brundisium with 1,500 cavalry, Antony, incensed at his setbacks, attacked Rullius by complete surprise and captured all of his men. The localized conflict was now spiraling out of control as both sides appealed to colonies of veterans and municipalities for men and materiel. The opportunity for a truce came when news arrived that Fulvia's unexpected death while at Sicon near Corinth. Antony reflected that he might have his differences with Octavian, but it was not worth plunging the Roman world into a war over them. Conveniently, Antony's sister died, in part brought on by jealousy at her husband's rumored cavortings with Queen Cleopatra of Egypt, provided a credible scapegoat for both triumvirs to blame the war on. In a public display of reconciliation, Octavian offered his own sister, Octavia Minor, as bride for the widowed triumvir. Antony accepted. In September, the triumvirs renegotiated their agreement. The document, which became known as the Treaty of Brundisium, intermediating between the real triumvirs, Agrippa may have worked alongside Maecenas, Cotius Nerva, and Asinius Pollio. In this revised division of the world, Caesar received the Hispanic and Gallic provinces, Illyricum, Sardinia. Antony received all the provinces belonging to the Romans across the Ionian Sea in Europe and Asia. Lepidus retained Africa, and Sextus held Sicily. Antony ordered Sextus to pull back his forces to Sicily, while Anaerobus was offered the proconsular governorship of faraway Bithynia. Against Sextus, they all agreed to wage a common war, though it would fall to Octavian to prosecute it. Antony would take the fight to Parthia in retaliation for the invasion of Asia Minor in 40 BCE. Octavian accepted a general amnesty for all forces which had gone over to Antony's brothers, including the defectors to Anaerobus and the remaining assassins of his father. The treaty also included a clause which allowed for Agrippa, as a friend of the triumvirs, to be made consul. Agrippa returned to Rome and continued his work as praetor. He had proved to be a very capable civil official of Rome and dutiful deputy of Octavian. The same could not be said of Salvinius. Following the conclusion of the treaty negotiations, he was accused of making criminal plans against Caesar. In Appian's account, Antony revealed that Salvinius had communicated his intentions to desert him while besieging Brundisium. Octavian recalled his deputy to Rome, pretending the matter was a concern of redeployment. When he arrived, Octavian confronted him with the evidence and sentenced him to death. In all the accounts, he was condemned and instead committed suicide. No longer trusting the loyalty of Salvinius's legions, he gave them over to Antony. Now, the outcome was a clear message to friends and clients of the heir to Julius Caesar's legacy that he would not tolerate disloyalty. For Marcus Agrippa, now Octavian's leading general, there was no doubt about his loyalty. In the days following the fateful March 15th, 44 BCE, he had tied his fortune firmly to his old schoolmates. From now on, his special relationship with the new Caesar would deepen, and with it, personal influence over the Roman world. Now, of course, there's only a slight mention of this, and that is, of course, Antony's been messing around with Cleopatra for quite some time, and she'll have two children by him. And the redivision of the world looked really good for Antony, but not the part about taking Octavian's sister as his wife. Now, the story goes that when the message arrived in Alexandria, that she was so mad that she took one of the tunics of Antony that she slept with and stabbed it over and over and over again, and then was hoping to finally get him to come to his senses and finish up the agreement to take over the whole Roman world. And then she cut off his money and supplies for quite some time. So there's a lot going to be going on between this period and the time of the Battle of Actium. So the sources for this: Lives of the Caesars by Suetonius, Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus, The 12 Caesars by Grant, Cleopatra by Grant, Marcus Agrippa, Right-Hand Man of Caesar Augustus by Powell, and Caesar's Wives Above Suspicions by Perrone. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us.